Thank you, Doug. Appreciated that special music. I think it's great when people share their talents with us. As soon as I find out if I have any, I'll share them. You can't keep me from sharing. That's what I told people. If I could sing, I'd be up here every week. You'd get tired of me singing quickly. I would just be up here. But tonight, according to the Roman calendar, we'll begin a new year. A brand new year, starting over. And the custom of many people is to attend a New Year's Eve party. Many people get so drunk, so out of their mind with alcohol that they have no idea when the new year begins anyway, when it's here, when it arrives. Because that's what people do. That's the custom, to go to a New Year's Eve party. But why do you think people get so excited about a new year? What's so exciting about 2012 arriving? Just another day, but people get excited. Is it because 2012 is going to be so much better? Is that what they look forward to? Is that what they get excited about? Is it because people make New Year's resolutions and they're excited about the new year coming so they can keep them or see if they can keep them? Or is it because last year was so bad, and I've heard people say that, I'm so glad to see 2011 go. Is it because it was so bad they know that 2012 can't be any worse? So they're looking forward just to getting away from 2011. But whatever reason they may have, every year without fail, people look forward to starting over. Starting a brand new year. How about you and I? Are we excited about the new year coming tonight at 12:01? Are we excited about that? Any of us flying off to New York after services so we can be in Times Square? That to me, that's crazy anyway. Who would want to be there with that mob of people? That's quite a time. Of course, I usually watch the ball drop just to be along with the crowd, but I don't think I'd want to be there in person. But are we excited about 2012 beginning in just the next few hours? Are we excited about that? And can we see things happening around us in the news, in books, and newspapers, and all kinds of reports that indicate this new year is going to be any different than 2011? What have we seen that would convince us of that? We know as Christians, we know that God has a plan to bring his kingdom to this planet, to this earth, a plan that will truly make for a new, fresh start, a true new beginning for our lives and for the lives of everybody. God hasn't sent his son Jesus back yet, so it appears we'll continue to wait and watch for the signs of his coming. Is there any hope for the year 2012? What hope is there? What hope does man have with this new year beginning? Will man find ways to repair our economy? Because it's going to fail if it's not repaired, but will man come up with that solution in 2012? Will that be something that we will be able to repair? Will we find a cure for cancer in 2012? Is that something that's going to happen? Will world leaders begin to share the wealth of their country with the people of their country to wipe out hunger and poverty? Or will they continue to keep the wealth for themselves? Will all religions come together to worship God in the way that God desires to be worshiped in 2012? A new beginning. In 2012, will we finally have world peace? These are things that people are asking. These are questions people have on their mind. But wouldn't it be great if the answer to all of these could be yes? Wouldn't that be great? But we know from history, it's probably not going to happen. We know that one day all of mankind's troubles will be ended. When God's government is established, God's government is brought to us by Jesus Christ, things will change. Our troubles will be ended. We'll see those changes. We'll see that new beginning. We'll see that new year that's reality, that's real, that has some depth to it, that has meaning to it. But right now, we can only dream and pray about God's kingdom coming. Until mankind turns itself over to God and submits to God and keeps his laws and commandments, we're going to continue to fail in all of the ventures that we undertake because we leave God out of that. But today, let's take a look at some of the predictions for 2012. Some of the things that people say are going to happen. Some of the things we have to look forward to or not look forward to, depending on how we look at it. But some of these predictions we can take as silly. Others, if true, will affect millions of people, including us. But these are the predictions that people are making. But God isn't in any of these predictions. So the title of my message today is A Brand New Year, Same Old Problems. Brand New Year, Same Old Problems. One of the most important predictions made for 2012 we've heard about for several years now. And that has to do with the end of the world coming in December of 2012. But we'll take a closer look at that in a little bit to see what that prediction means. But let's begin with some of these predictions that potentially could affect the whole world. And these are predictions made by scientists, world leaders, people supposedly in the know. But prediction number one is worldwide shortage of rare earth metals. Worldwide shortage of rare earth metals. Now, what is that? These are rare metals used in the manufacturing of everything from electric motors to solar panels, computer parts, things like that. The problem we have is China controls 97% of the world's supply of these metals. China controls our debt, and they control these precious metals, these rare metals that we need. So they're looking at a worldwide shortage based on China's decision to either keep them or let us purchase them. The second prediction is food supply disruptions hit Western nations. Food supply disruptions hit Western nations. Based on crop disease, erratical weather patterns, Americans will wake up to the fact that food will not be plentiful in this country. That's what they're predicting. Food will not be plentiful in this country. A report on February 15, 2011 from Olan International predicts that corn prices will be at a record high in 2012. Climate changes around the world will cause massive food supply disruptions. You know, over this past year, there were 12 major disasters that were weather related. 12. More than any other time, any other year. And each one of these major disasters cost at a minimum $1 billion. And that was on the low side. Several of them went up into the $5, $6, $7, $8 billion to cost for the damage that was done. But 12 of those major disasters this year. Turn with me to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. This is a prediction by Jesus Christ. Matthew 24 and verse 7 says, "For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places." We're going to experience that. We have experienced that in different parts of the world, famines. We've experienced earthquakes. We've experienced tornadoes, tsunamis, all kinds of things going on. But that's going to cause disruptions in the food supply. That's what's predicted for 2012. Another prediction, deadly superbug mutation goes wild. Deadly superbug mutation goes wild. It says a deadly superbug will escape the hospital and get into the atmosphere, meaning it starts to infect everyday people who may become infected at the gym or school or other places like that. And, you know, even going to the store with the shopping carts, everybody touches the shopping carts. When you go to pump gas, everybody's touched those gas pumps. So there's a lot of contact with a lot of other people who may be carrying around infections like this. But it says, and it sounds too simple to be true, but it says the reason for this will point to the fact of the abuse of antibiotics, which makes sense, and the failure of hospital staff to wash their hands. You know, and that's somebody had mentioned that, you know, they sterilize all the equipment they use in surgery and everything else. But if somebody doesn't wash their hands or anything, something like that, that was all a waste. But that's what's going to allow these infections. And we saw that with Mr. Rhodes. Mr. Rhodes getting that infection that he's just had a tough time getting rid of because it's such a strong bacteria, such a strong infection. But as we continue to give more and more antibiotics to people for everything under the sun, these germs, this infection becomes immune to those antibiotics. So we're creating monsters ourselves by what we're doing. And the most resistant one is CRKP. That's the initials. And to pronounce that, I would make a big fool of myself if I tried it. But that's what it's known by, CRKP. And it's the most serious infection you can get. But it says there were 365 cases of this infection in a seven-month period in Southern California in 2011. And those of us who have read and understand God's truth will know that if we have faith in God, that we are protected from things like this. We don't have to worry about these predictions if we have the faith in God that God will heal us. I mean, we know we need to do things. We know we need to wash our hands. We know we need to protect ourselves. You know, it's nice now because at a lot of gas stations, they have the alcohol wipes and same way in a store, wipe off the shopping cart handle or whatever. But we need to use those protections when they're available to make sure we do all we can do to protect ourselves. But turn with me to James 5, James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and in verse 14 says, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. But that's where our faith needs to be. You know, the world doesn't understand that. The world doesn't know that. So when you see predictions like this, if you see this and you don't know God's plan for mankind, you don't know what a relationship we can have with God, you don't understand that, or you don't even understand who God is, this could be something that could keep you up at night, worrying about even leaving the house. But we know that if something like this happens, we can call on God and we can ask for anointing, we can be asked for healing, and that God, through our faith, will take care of us. And it's amazing because you look at all of these predictions, none of them include God. All of these are something that man predicts about himself, what man is going to do, what the problems man is going to cause. Prediction number four is new evidence links vaccines and neurological disorders. New evidence links vaccines and neurological disorders. And we've heard people talk about autism being caused by vaccines. But now they're saying even Alzheimer's could be caused by vaccines. And what else could be? Because the fact is, selling vaccines to people is a moneymaker. You go into stores now, you go into drug stores, you go into grocery stores, and you can get flu shots. There's signs up, flu shots, $20 or whatever it is. You know, pretty soon you'll go to 7-Eleven, get a Slurpee and a flu shot. I mean, that's how it's getting, you know, wherever we can make a buck, that's what's going on with medicine, with vaccines. But are they causing these problems? Some say yes, some say no. But for the average person like us, who do we trust? Who do we believe? How do we know that they aren't causing the problems? How do we know they are? So we have to trust in God. We can't trust in man. They can't tell us. They just can't tell us. Does it harm us or not? So we don't know. But it says in 2012, more and more evidence will point to the fact that vaccines are being the cause of some of these illnesses, some of these problems like autism and Alzheimer's. So we'll see as 2012 begins Another prediction, satellite breakdown. Satellite breakdown. Says there will be a huge failure of one or more communication satellites causing worldwide disruptions of telecom services. The most important being emergency and law enforcement departments. And the cause for this could be space debris or being targeted by land-to-space rockets. Who knows? But we do know if we walk into a store and the cash register of their computer's not working, they're out of business. Nothing can operate without that computer. So you can imagine if somebody knocked out the satellites for the military or for the police department or for the hospitals or something like that, what a mess that could be. But that's what they're talking about. That's what they're predicting for 2012, the satellite breakdown. Another prediction, crop contamination will lead to crisis. Crop contamination will lead to crisis. It says crop contamination in North America will be due to genetically altered seeds. Let's make a buck. We can make more money if we do this. If we alter these seeds, make them grow faster, bigger. Tensions will rise between farmers and seed manufacturers because of this. And one leading manufacturer of genetic altered seeds was also the manufacturer of Agent Orange used in Vietnam. So wherever we make a buck, we can kill you or feed you. Wherever we can make a buck, we're going to do it. But in Vietnam, over 3 million people were contaminated by Agent Orange. And over 500,000 children have been born with birth deformities caused by Agent Orange. And this is a company who we have making altered seeds for food. Are they in it because of our best interest, or are they in it for money, for profit? We'll see. Another prediction, honeybee population collapse spreads to other species. And I watched a documentary on this a couple of years ago, and where these beekeepers, their hives were empty. The bees were gone. They didn't have a clue where they went. What happened? They just didn't know. Went out there one day, the bees weren't there. They were gone. It says in 2006, beekeepers reported losses of 30 to 90% of their hives. And there have been several ideas looked at by the experts, but as of today, they can't pinpoint a reason why. What happened? What happened to these hives that they just disappeared? A lot of speculation, but no answer. And you can bet they've had some of the top minds on this, some of the top scientists, and they don't have a clear answer as to what happened. So can it happen again? But what they're saying, now the honeybee colony collapse disorder now striking honeybee populations will only get worse in honeybees, but it's also predicted to spread to other species. It says throughout North America, bird watchers will notice an alarming decline in bird population. For the same reason, but nobody knows the reason. So what's happening here, we don't know. They don't know. They don't have the answer to it. But again, it's predicted to get worse. Another prediction, nuclear power sees a global resurgence. Nuclear power sees a global resurgence. On February 16, 2010, President Obama launched a $8 billion new building initiative for more nuclear power plants. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? If a lot of you remember Midland and they were trying to build a power plant in Midland, were very unsuccessful, the nuclear plant there. Cost overruns that they couldn't keep up with. Construction problems that they couldn't keep up with. Finally, the whole project was shut down. But we're going to do it again. Is the same thing going to happen again? Are we going to build nuclear power plants that are second rate, that are unsafe? But we have to do something because we know the oil situation in the world is not good. With Iran threatening to shut down the Seagate, the oil has to come through. If they shut that down, that's going to cause a crisis in this country. But that's what we're up against. We're being held hostage. So will we build more nuclear power plants? maybe make a mistake, maybe not do the quality job that should be done. What's been done since the time we quit building them until now? Have we done any research or have we made any headway? Who knows? But now it's being brought back up to the table to let's do this. Let's try this again. Nuclear weapons unleashed in the Middle East. That's another prediction. Nuclear weapons unleashed in the Middle East. I haven't thought what it would be like to live in Israel, to be surrounded by enemies 24/7, not knowing if you're going to get a missile in your backyard, that you're going to get shot when you walk out on the street. But, you know, that has to be a nightmare to live like that. But it's saying it seems possible that low-yield tactical nuclear weapons could be used in conflict in the Middle East, targeting Iran's processing facility, causing countless casualties. And it's been reported that Israel could have from 75 to over 400 nuclear weapons on hand. Now, is Israel going to be forced to use those to protect themselves? We hope not. But in 2012, who knows? This world is very unstable. This world doesn't involve God in the way we operate and the way we do things. So is that a possibility? While somebody predicts it, it is. Another prediction, U.S. debt gets downgraded while world investors slash purchases of U.S. debt instruments. It says the U.S. will continue to lose credibility in the financial community around the world. This will lead to rampant inflation combined with deflation of the U.S. dollar. We get it on both ends. Things cost more and our dollar's worth less. And the U.S. will find itself unable to borrow any more money and will resort to printing its own currency to try to pay its debt. It's writing a bad check, writing a check when there's no money in the bank. The end result will be a complete financial bankruptcy for this country. But that's our educated leaders. That's the solution that they have. That's the solution they have because they don't involve God. They don't look to God for this solution. What will we do? Well, we'll just print more money. What does that solve? That doesn't even make sense. That doesn't make sense to any of us sitting here who know that doesn't work. But yet that's our leaders. That's our government leaders to say, this is what we're going to do to solve our problem. It doesn't make sense. But it does. If you don't have God involved, it makes a lot of sense. Another prediction, U.S. nearly comes to military conflict with China. U.S. nearly comes to military conflict with China. It says U.S. will begin having troubles with China over natural resources like those rare metals we talked about earlier. China will have the upper hand in this conflict because it will threaten to sell off the United States debt and crash the U.S. debt ratings. China owns the United States. What does Scripture say about the lender and the borrower? You know, we're a slave to the lender. China's the lender. And we put ourselves in that position. We've got ourselves in a no-win situation here. We can't do anything with China. Whatever they decide to do, they can do. What are we going to threaten them with? They're our source of money. But they're not going to let us get away with anything. And they'll threaten right back. You know, everybody used to think for years, when I was little, I was brought up to believe everybody around the world wanted to be an American. That's what they wanted. More than anything, they wanted to be an American. Well, Chinese people don't want to be Americans. They want to be Chinese. Arabs don't want to be Americans. They want to be Arabs. People don't want to be Americans. They want to be who they are and what they are. And we have to come to those terms and understand that. We've lost respect around the world. We've lost respect. America used to be the most respected country on this planet, but not anymore. We've lost that because we left God out of our daily lives, out of the way we operate, out of the way we do things. So we're nobody in the world. We're nobody anymore. Another prediction, huge new scandal implicates major pharmaceutical company in scientific fraud. Huge new scandal implicates major pharmaceutical company in scientific fraud. says it's only a matter of time before a large pharmaceutical manufacturer gets caught again committing a felony by falsifying clinical studies or burying the results from the public. And we've seen that happen. A new medication comes out. 6 months or a year later, they're pulling it off the shelves because it does so much damage. The research wasn't done. They wanted to get the product out there to make the buck. That's all it was about. It was out there trying to make a dollar. So they got it out there. But Life Extension magazine says, modern medicine is a platform for profit, not health. That's what they're in business for. The pharmaceutical companies are in business for profit, not for your health or my health, but for the health of their bank account. But that's happening all across the country. We hear that. And we see time after time, you see these ads on TV from the lawyers, or you see it in newspapers. If you've taken this drug, call me because we can sue them or whatever. It just goes on and on and on. But you wonder, how can this happen? If they have my best interest in mind, if they have my health in mind, why is this happening? Why are these drugs being put out there that cause more damage than good? What's going on? Another prediction, another 9/11 false flag incident. Now, there are people who believe in the conspiracies that the United States is responsible for 9/11. And the United States is responsible for other terrorist acts. And we did that to bring about certain things. We did that so we could get over in the Middle East where the oil is and maybe get control of that. But conspiracist people believe those things. But it just says here, too, in a desperate attempt to convince people they need more government involvement in their lives, certain government agencies will stage another large-scale terror attack. Following the attack, the government will call for more regulations to monitor what people are doing for everyone's protection. They will tell you they're doing it for your – I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for your benefit. But the real reason they're going to do it is to set up a database to keep track of the movements of every American citizen. And if you refuse to cooperate, you will be denied certain services. Again, you know, a conspiracy theory. Is it true? Will it happen? Who knows? I don't know. But I know another reason to trust God, because I certainly can't trust my government in situations like this. I can't trust any man with this. I have to go to God and trust him. So even though a lot of these are negative, they turn us in the right direction, a lot of these predictions. True, if they come true or not, they turn us toward God, because we see there's no hope here. If we don't bring God and involve him in this, there's no hope for mankind with all of this stuff going on. But another prediction, nursing home drugging scandal exposed. Nursing home drugging scandal exposed. Now, you would think our senior citizens would be respected, taken care of, made sure that they're comfortable, that their living conditions are right and good, because they're the backbone of this country. They built this country. And yet, we mistreat them. They end up in homes and neglected and not taken care of very well. But it says a major scandal will expose criminal drugging of nursing home residents. This will be done by staff to better control residents by keeping them in a mental stupor. 24% of those in nursing homes are given antipsychotic drugs. And I don't know if you walk through a nursing home, have you seen people just sitting there in a wheelchair, sitting there on a couch or sitting in a chair and just look like they don't know where they're at, what planet they're on or anything else? Who knows if they're drugged? But is this the way to treat our senior citizens? It's just mind-boggling that people would treat others like that. But that's what happens. And this is America. And these are people who have worked for 30, 40, 50 years, contributed to society, have families. Their only thing that happened to them is they got old. And yet they're just put away and drugged so they're not a bother. That's sad. But that's predicted to become more and more something that's happening more and more around this world, not only in this country. But that's a shame. But again, when you read things like that, you're saying, why would we allow this to happen? How can this happen? Well, it can happen because of greed. Because the workers don't want to take care of the people. The owners of the nursing homes don't want to spend any money. So it all goes back to what I can put in my pocket. And that's sad. Another prediction is the psychiatric industry will declare more normal behaviors to be disordered. They will declare more and more normal behaviors to be disorders. More and more things will be determined to be disordered by the psychiatric industry in order to sell more drugs. Children who talk back to their parents will be classified as having a disorder. I would have been locked up in a padded room. It wouldn't have been any hope for me. Temper tantrums will also be classified as a disorder. The big pharmaceutical companies will expand their customer base. You know, that's sad. You know, you don't know what to do with your child. Your child talks back to you. They throw a tantrum. You take them to the doctor. The doctor says, they've got a disorder, but I've got a pill. So we'll take care of that. So we'll drug them and put them in a corner with these elderly people. And that's what they do. Instead of finding out what's going on or how do we get around this, we'll just drug them. Being over transportation at Hazlitt schools, more and more elementary kids. It seemed like every kid was on Ritalin. We would have problems on the bus. So the teachers would have problems in the classroom. We'd call the parents in, and the parents would say, well, I forgot to give them their Ritalin this morning. And you're thinking, what's going on? Why are all of these kids on Ritalin and more and more and more? And it was enormous. Well, the doctor said, let's drug them up. Let's make zombies out of them, and they'll be good. That's sad, but that's what's happening. That's what's going on. We're drugging the kids. Turn with me to Ephesians 2, if you would. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. And in verse 2. Says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. You know, this world is based on Satan's way of living, not on God's way. Satan has the influence in this world, not God. Satan has a lot going on here. And we walk according to his ways, according to what he broadcasts, according to the sons of disobedience. We walk in that way, not according to God's way. Turn with me back to Deuteronomy. Chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We as parents are obligated. We as grandparents, we as uncles and aunts, you know, we all have an obligation. But we can end this. We don't, you know, because a child throws a tantrum or because they talk back doesn't mean they have a disorder. It means maybe we've not done our job as parents to teach them. But in Deuteronomy 6 and beginning in verse 7, here's instruction that we have. It says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. Teach God's laws. Teach God's ways. Teach the guidelines that God has given us. But teach them to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Teach our children God's ways. Teach our children about God, about love, about how it's important to obey your parents, about the benefits of obeying your parents. What is the commandment? Honor your mother and father. You're blessed by doing that. Our children need to know that. Or we can just say, well, you know, they've got a disorder. There's no sense trying anything else. There was an old saying down south when the kids were out of control, and they say, well, I just turn him loose and brag on him, you know. And okay, that's okay. But what's going to happen to the child if we turn them loose and brag on them? We need to teach them. We need to set guidelines. We need to give them boundaries. We need to give them a good diet. We need to take care of them the way that God expects us to take care of them. So when a child's having issues, maybe it's not the child's fault. Maybe it goes back to the parent because maybe the parent isn't doing their job. So there's a lot more to it than just saying the child's got a disorder and let's drug them up and move on. But that's what happens today. The teachers are happy because they've got a quiet child sitting in their classroom that doesn't have a lot of energy to burn up, causing problems. So nothing is said about that. Nobody asks why and what's going on here. Why do we have an epidemic of these kids on medication? They just take it as the doctor said, so it must be okay. But that's where we're headed. That's man's way. That's not God's way. Another prediction is vaccine industry goes crazy with new vaccines. A lot of this is medical, as you see it coming, and I think that has to do with, you know, our society getting older, more people relying on doctors and having more health issues. But vaccine industry goes crazy with new vaccines. Big pharmaceutical companies have realized the future of big profits aren't only with sick people. You know, they usually, if you're sick, you take a pill. If you're sick, you get a prescription, but that's not good enough. They know that they have a huge potential market selling drugs to normal, healthy people if they can convince them that they won't get sick in the first place if they take their drug. So now are they not only giving medication to sick people, they want to give medication to healthy people so they won't get sick. But again, why do they want to do that? Looks good on the outside. Really looks good. Looks like I care for you and I want to do what's good for you. But Christ talked to the Pharisees about that, about looking good on the outside, but it's what's on the inside that's important. Let's take a look at that in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Luke 11 and in verse 37. Here Christ is with the Pharisees, and he says, as he spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and sat down to eat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. You know, the Pharisee there again, you know, well, there he's not as righteous as I am, or he's not as good as I am. He didn't even wash his hands before we sat down to eat. And in verse 39, it says, but the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. And that's what I see here when I read these things. You know, the pharmaceutical companies look good. They have your best interest at heart on the outside. They look good. Beautiful buildings, beautiful manufacturing places where they make the drugs and looks good on the outside. But what's on the inside? What's their motivation for wanting to get everybody drugged up? Well, I'm sure it's profit. I'm sure it's greed, because it's rampant in this country. It's rampant around the world. But it looks good. They care about me. They care about us. Well, do they? But that's a prediction. Another prediction. War on health freedoms ramp up. War on health freedoms ramp up. Things like raw milk, natural herb supplements will be targeted by the FDA as unsafe as the government tries to gain more and more control. And that's what it seems that the government wants to do, is just have more and more control of what we take in, what we do, what we can take, what we can't take. That's a prediction. Will it happen? I don't know. Could it happen? Probably. Another prediction, brain tumors from cell phone use start to appear in young people. Brain tumors from cell phone use start to appear in young people. More and more young people will develop brain tumors as a result of cell phone use. Up until now, there hasn't been much information on how cell phone use affects young people, because most of today's users didn't start using cell phones until they were older. So it's going to take a while. You know, now we have little children with cell phones, but it's going to take a while, they say, before we see or can make the determination if they have any effect. But there's 5 billion cell phone users. That's a lot of phones. And in May of 2011, the determination was made that using a cell phone can cause cancer. That was the determination. It can cause cancer if you use that cell phone. But later on in October of 2011, the determination was made that using a cell phone has no link to cancer. Now, who's right? Who's not right? Is it greed that's driving these decisions? Or the decision at least to change whether the cell phone causes cancer or not? I don't know. I'm not smart enough to figure out whether cell phones cause cancer or not. But who do we believe? We have two different opinions there. Who's right? Who's wrong? One can kill us. That's important. But are they being honest? Or does a cell phone not have any effect on us at all? But again, that's man. Man's decision. Is it good for us or bad for us? Or is it driven by greed? 5 billion cell phones, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. So you certainly wouldn't want, that's like cigarettes for years. I told you cigarettes weren't harmful because they didn't want to see those profits go by the wayside until they finally had to admit, were forced, they didn't do it on their own, but they were forced to admit that smoking can cause cancer. But they certainly didn't want to do that. They hid things. They hid test results, paid people off to keep them quiet for years and years so that didn't get out. Another prediction is terrorist strike on U.S. water supply. Terrorist strike on U.S. water supply. And I was waiting to see if this person who predicted this gave a line-by-line description of how to do it, because that's what we seem to do. Is here's something. I wonder if the terrorists have thought of this, and then we outline it. Here's how you could do it. So we're very helpful. But this person didn't do that, and I appreciated that. But the FBI says our water supply is a logical target for terrorist attack. It's a logical target. So are we protecting that? Let's turn to Revelation 7 and 17. Should we worry about that? Revelation 7. And in verse 17. Here's talking about Jesus Christ and talking about us. But it says, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them, talking about shepherding us, and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eye. That's the water that's important to us, Jesus Christ, and the living water that flows from him. God's Holy Spirit. That's the water we need to protect. That's the water we need to maintain. And to not let Satan as a terrorist pollute that water or cause it so we can't use it or won't use it. But as Christians, that's the water we need to protect. God will provide living waters that we need. Again, God will supply all of our needs if we bring our needs to him and include him in our daily lives. But we can worry about that. Will terrorists strike? We don't know. They could. What could we do about it? As individuals, nothing. Put it in God's hands. That's all we can do. Another prediction is stealth personal recorders go mainstream. Stealth personal recorders go mainstream. We know there's no secrets today. You could walk outside of this door and be on camera, be on the 6 o'clock news if you did something foolish out in the parking lot, like flatten my tires or something. But we don't know when we're on camera. We could be anywhere. Somebody recording us, just anything could go on. But now that's becoming more and more easier to do. Because of the equipment that's out there, little tiny cameras that nobody can see that you could have and use. I remembered at the school, and after a while, after so many meetings with the union people and seeing so many things happen, I always thought when I was in a meeting with an employee, I knew I could either be being recorded or being filmed and never know it. So I always had that in the back of my mind. To make sure that what I said was proper and what I did was proper, because you never know. If you don't, things like that can come back to haunt you. But I always thought that people are capable of doing that. People will do that. People do it all the time. when we first started coming to church, we had to find the church. We had to look for it because it wasn't publicized. The churches were kind of a secret place. But now, you know, we're on the web, we're on the internet, we're all over the place. And because of today's technology, we can't hide. People know where we are, who we are, what we believe. They just know that. They know that we're here. Let's turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Matthew 24. And in verse 9, it says, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another." Because of all the technology, because of all of the ways to communicate today, you can't hide anything anymore. People know what we believe, and if one day it happens to be that they come to the conclusion that because our beliefs are so outrageous, are so insulting to God that they need to do something to us, they need to punish us or put us in prison for what we believe, or because we won't bow down to their gods, we could be persecuted because of that. But we can't hide because there's too many things, too many ways of communication out there today. So all of the recorders and everything that they have allow that. And we're not here to hide anything. We want the world to know who we are and what we believe. That's why in a couple of weeks we're going to have the Kingdom of God seminar. Because we want to take God's word to the world. But that doesn't mean the world's going to agree all the time with us. But we have to understand that we're out there. Because technology has brought the church out there. And a lot of good things. I mean, where would we be without television and the Beyond Today program and all of this? So there's so much good, but it can also be used against us. And so be it, I guess, if that happens. But again, we put ourselves in God's hands. The apostles had to put themselves in God's hands and trust God and involve God. And that's where we have one up on the world, because we know God is there and we know we can depend on him. But Satan will use every tool available to try to discredit God, to try to discredit God's people. Try to make us look foolish. Try to make us look like we don't know what we're talking about. But I couldn't tell you if any of these predictions about 2012 are going to happen or not. I don't know. I don't know if they will, if they'll come to pass or not. They're predictions. And we know things are beginning to happen that without a doubt will bring the return of Jesus Christ. We don't know when. But many people have predicted that, predicted when and how things are going to happen. They didn't happen that way. They didn't happen the way they said they were going to happen. They lost credibility. And here's one, and many of you may remember this this person, because this happened back in May of 2011. And this information is from MSNBC Technology and Science Department. But it says, in the year 2011, even though it's flown by without a hitch, or at least without the earth bursting into flames, the radio evangelist Harold Camping's famous pair of prophecies that include his prediction that true Christians would be safely evacuated to heaven on May 21st, and that a series of global cataclysms would climax in a grand earth-shattering finale on October 21st, seemed to have flopped. They didn't happen. And this was big news. This was news all around the world. These people gathered together to be raptured up into heaven on May 21st. And then the article goes on to say, it says, yes, it looks as if we will make it to 2012 after all. But then it says, but then what? Then what happens? It says, Camping has been certain of the accuracy of his prophecies. He was certain those dates and that those two things were going to happen. He believed the Bible taught very definitely that the rapture would occur on May 21st and the end of the world would happen on October 21st. He says because the rapture or the end of the world didn't happen, he's rethinking what God is teaching him about those dates and what he should be doing. God tells us when Jesus Christ is going to return. And it's in Scripture. People don't have to make up their own dates. They don't have to look. But it says again, it says the one thing for sure, he will not be jumping on the bandwagon of those who are predicting that the world will end December 31st, 2012. I think the man's probably taken enough ridicule that he's not going to get into that anymore. No more predictions. But will the world come to an end in 2012? Because that's what's been predicted by a lot of people. We all hear the ancient Mayans and their calendar, Mayans or Mayans in their calendar, that supposedly ends at the winter solstice in 2012. Is this a sign from God? Until I heard these things, I never knew who the Mayans were, really. I guess maybe my history wasn't so great, but I just never had heard of them before. And but I wonder, is it a warning from God to make sure his people are prepared? Because there have been a number of books written about this. It's all over the websites. And a major movie. I don't know if any of you saw the movie 2012. Quite a movie. Quite a disaster. And if you're a good limo driver, you can escape it all. But there they held a lottery. You know, when they knew the earth was doomed, they held, the government, of course, held a lottery. And people were chosen who were going to be able to escape on Noah's Ark 2012 style. But they were going to be put on these big boats and they were going to be saved, the ones who were lucky enough. And I'm sure probably all of the politicians were there. They probably all had the winning lottery tickets to get on the boat. But that's how they see it. That's what people see. God wasn't involved at all. I don't even think God was mentioned in that movie, as I can recall. But he wasn't mentioned at all. Just what can we do? We need to save ourselves. So that was what they came, that was what they had come up with to save mankind. After everything settled down, then we could go back and repopulate the earth again and rebuild. But that's what they were going to do. And the author of the Maya Cosmogenesis book, John Major, says this: around the year 2012, a large chapter in human history will be coming to an end. All the values and assumptions of the previous world age will expire, and a new phase of human growth will commence. I have no idea what that means. He probably doesn't have any idea what that means. But what does it mean? It doesn't make any sense. What phase of human growth will commence? What are we going to commence doing? But it says all of the assumptions about 2012 that are made, they're made by taking ideas from several sources, one being the Mayan calendar, another being from the book, the Bible Code, and a tiny little bit, because that's what Satan's good at, a little tiny bit from the book of Revelation to throw in to give us some credibility, all of these things, because that's how Satan works. That's what he does. But that's where all of this came from. That's where all of these ideas about 2012, all of these predictions came from. But is 2012 mentioned anywhere in the Bible as being the year the world will end? I haven't seen it. I don't know if anybody has seen it, but I haven't seen it. But in Matthew 24, we can read the answer that Jesus Christ gave. It's there for everybody to read about the end of the world. Very simple. We don't have to come up with dates. We don't have to read the Bible code or look at the Mayan calendar or anything else. We don't have to do that. All we have to do is look in Matthew 24. If you turn there with me, Matthew 24, and in verse 36. Very simple, but very clear. But of that day and hour no one knows, no, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. That's when the end's going to come, when God decides it's going to come. That's the prediction. That's the real prediction. That's the true prediction. That's when it's going to come. And in Matthew 24, and in verse 3, it says, now as he said on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of the coming and of the end of the age? And then Jesus went on to say all of these things that were going to be happening. And these would be signs of him coming signs at the end of this age. That's what Jesus Christ said. It's here in Scripture for everybody to read. In Matthew 25 and in verse 13, here's our warning. Here's what we should be doing. Matthew 25 and verse 13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Again, we don't know. So how can somebody put together May 21st as the day Jesus Christ is coming back? He can't, because that's not scriptural. That's not what God says. Let's look at Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and in verse 4. What does it say here? It says, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Well, if someone's telling us that Jesus Christ is returning on May 21st of 2011, he's deceiving us, because that's not when it's going to happen. That's not what God says. Let's look down to verse 23. Go down to verse 23. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even you and me, even the elect. So we have to stay focused. We have to go back in Scripture and look and see, what does Christ say? Christ said no one knows the day or the hour. No one, not only his Father. That's when Jesus Christ is going to return, when God the Father says he is. But Jesus gave us signs to look at. He gave us things to watch for. So it doesn't matter when Christ returns. What matters is, what will we be doing when he comes? What will we be doing? Matthew 24 and in verse 44. Matthew 24 and in verse 44. It says, therefore, you also, when he says you, he's talking to you and me. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him. Again, if he's coming May 21st, we can expect him May 21st. But he says here, we don't know. We don't know. But in verse 45, he goes on to say, who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. What has Jesus Christ told us to do? To preach the gospel to all the world. To take his message and share it with the world. To share his truth. Is that what we're doing? To grow spiritually. To bond in our relationship with God and Jesus Christ. Those are the things we need to be doing. That's what's important, not the predictions of 2012. Even though some may happen, some may not. But what's important is, we know that God is there. God's consistent. He's always there. He'll be there. He was there in 2011. He'll be there in 2012. That's where our focus needs to be as Christians. These predictions are interesting. They're depressing, many of them. They're shameful, many of them, but these are the predictions made, but they're made because man is in charge. They're made because they're things man is going to do without God. So we've got a lot to learn, and it's too bad that in 2012, some of those things that I had read first won't happen. Cure for cancer, world peace, one religion. That would be great if that happened in 2012. But until man quits rejecting God, those things aren't going to happen. But one thing is sure, one thing is constant. God is going to be there. When is Jesus Christ going to return? You read the same scripture I did. No one except God the Father knows that. But we do know, without a doubt, that he's going to return. So, as we think, as human beings, as we think with a carnal mind, knowing mankind, knowing the history, knowing what our future most likely is. So we're going to have a brand new year. But without God, without involving him, without changing, without submitting ourselves to God, we're going to have the same old problems.